Now, it's not unreasonable to think this way. And even though I suspect that sometimes we're blinded by mistaking the views of Socrates for the views of Plato, but it's perfectly reasonable to think that Socrates is, in some sense, the central and most important character in the Platonic dialogues. It's clear that Socrates, in his life and death, in ways that we're going to be talking about, was an important inspiration for Plato. One of the most interesting works that we have of Plato is not, strictly speaking, a dialogue at all. It's the work that Plato apparently authored called Socrates' Apology, and it purports to be Socrates' defense, that is, an apology not in the sense of apologizing for something that you've done wrong, but in the sense of offering as an apologia pro sua vita, a defense or argument in favor of himself. It purports to be Socrates' defense before an Athenian jury against the charges that were brought against Socrates, charges of heresy and corruption of the young. And it is a remarkable tour de force that shows Socrates as a brilliant and witty thinker in his own right. One of the most remarkable things about that speech that Plato has Socrates give, or that Plato recounts Socrates as giving, one of the most remarkable things about that speech is the claim on Socrates' part that his wisdom constitutes, in fact, a lack of understanding. Socrates recounts how, when he was told that the oracle at Delphi had pronounced him to be the wisest of all people in Athens, he tried to find out how and in what sense this could be true. He says in his speech, "Then when I began to try to show him that," speaking about a person that he went to talk to, "when I began to try to show this person that he only thought he was wise and was not really so, my efforts were resented both by him and by many of the other people present. However, I reflected as I walked away, well, I am certainly wiser than this man. It is only too likely that neither of us has any knowledge to boast of, but he thinks that he knows something which he does not know, whereas I am quite conscious of my ignorance. At any respect, it seems that I am wiser than he is to this small extent that I don't think that I know what I don't know." And in the context of the speech, Socrates portrays himself as being a person who has very little understanding and whose wisdom resides merely in the fact that he is conscious of himself as not having that understanding. Well, this claim, like many other claims on Socrates' parts, is very difficult for us to take, because when we watch Socrates in the dialogues, and even for that matter in the very speech itself, we can see that he is a person of extraordinary understanding and extraordinary technical expertise. What is it that he means then to be saying when he claims that his wisdom consists in the recognition that he has no understanding, a recognition that he thinks other men, having pretense to knowledge and to understanding, lack? One way of understanding this is to see, and this is connected with a dialogue that we'll talk about later in this course of lectures, the dialogue called the Symposium. One way of understanding this is to see the characterization of himself as wise by virtue of his not having wisdom as a characterization of himself as essentially being in love with wisdom. And this goes with Socrates' description of himself as a person committed to philosophy. In the Apology, Plato makes clear that no matter what kind of verdict the jury comes up with, he is not going to give up his life devoted to philosophy. And in the dialogues, we will see Socrates repeating this kind of conviction and commitment to doing philosophy. But we will see Socrates less as a source of theory than as an emblem of the love of understanding, as committed to philosophy, in other words, in the respect in which the word philosophy is understood as philosophy, as loving wisdom, as engaging in and holding, as it were, an erotic attitude toward wisdom that marks the philosopher as the person devoted to trying to understand. So Socratic questioning, Socratic talking, Socratic discourse is above all committed to the joyful but searching play of discourse, in which understanding and wisdom can perhaps be brought to birth by the very erotic love of that wisdom that understanding is meant to bring about. These are, above all, the Socratic dialogues. That is to say, as I'm going to try to suggest to you, the Platonic Socratic dialogues. And we're going to be talking about a number of them over the next several lectures, precisely in order to give ourselves an example or to see how it is that the erotic love of discourse can, as a matter of fact, be in the service of understanding and bringing about wisdom. So, next time we'll begin with a short dialogue entitled The Euthyphro, in which Plato engages the question, what do we mean when we describe certain actions as being holy? I look forward to talking to you then, and we'll see how it is to watch Plato and Socrates at work.
This ends Lecture 1.